So look what it says here. Likewise, the Spirit, oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He helps in our weaknesses. He helps you in your weaknesses. Don't be ashamed that you have weaknesses. God knows you've got weaknesses in your flesh. That's why he sent help. Now, the word weaknesses here is the same word, Greek word, translated everywhere else, sicknesses, asthenia. It means weaknesses, can be translated weaknesses, but it is used constantly through the Gospels of saying the sick, the asthenes, were healed. So the Holy Spirit was sent to help you in your physical infirmities to repair the damage that disease is trying to bring into your body. Pray in tongues and walk in health. Now, this word helps. Lord, help the Greeks. It is three words, and a lot of the ways, just like we do, like we say the word unkind, it's two words mashed together, right? It's un and kind, right? It's a compound word. This is a triple or quadruple compound word. I'll say it, but you'll just think I'm speaking with tongues. The word helps us in our weaknesses, helps us in our physical sicknesses, is son anti-lambanatai. Son anti-lambanatai. Son with, anti against, lambanatai, take hold of. It literally means the Holy Spirit is taking hold of the situation with you against it. He's with you taking hold of it against it. It's like if we had a big grand piano up here, and I come down and I'm going, and David says, Pastor, can I help you? And five or six others say, Pastor, can we help you? What you're literally saying is, Pastor, can we join with you to take hold of the piano against its weight and get it where you need to go? Can we take hold of together with against? So the Holy Spirit is taking hold with you against the sickness, against the weakness, against the disease. And when he takes hold, he lifts it off of you and breaks the power of it. He won't do it for you. He will only do it with you. So if you're not praying in tongues and yielding to the Holy Spirit, he has nothing to help. He won't do it for, he does it with. Say amen if you can. Now, what's our number one weakness? What's our number one problem, even with sickness in our body? We don't know what to pray for as we ought. And if you listen to most Christians pray, that's true. Oh, God, if it only be your will, please come and take this away from me. The problem with that is you already took it. It's about you receiving what he's already done. See, in the area of healing, we could talk any area. I'm picking out one area as an illustration, trusting you to extend that to other areas. God has already healed you. He's waiting for you to appropriate it, activate it in your life, receiving what he's already given. See, we're not the sick trying to get God to heal us. We are the healed. Remember, you got to change the memory. You got to change the definition of what you were. I was healed. When you begin to speak about your past as if it's so, you reprogram the identity of who you are. That's why it's important not to say, God will heal me, because that tells, when you say God will, you're saying I'm not. You're programming your body and mind to say I'm not. Did you follow that? Well, I'm going to ask and see if God will. You just now told your heart, you told everything in you that has ears, I'm not yet. But when you say, I was healed by the stripes of Jesus, your heart begins to do some changing. And because it's so used to not being healed, the first time you say that with your mouth, the heart and your DNA says, I don't know if that's me or not. So you have to spend time releasing it out of your mouth until your heart says, I agree with that. And when your heart says, I agree with that, thank you, Holy Spirit. When your heart says, I agree with that, that your past truly is, you were healed in the past. You're not trying to get healed. You were healed. When your heart gets the revelation, I was healed by the stripes of Jesus, your heart releases the signal and your body responds. Your DNA and genetics are reprogrammed and the sickness dissipates and disappears. But the Holy Spirit helps him, himself making intercession for us with groanings, which can't be uttered. You know, sometimes the only thing you can pray is, it's not even, it's, ugh. Has anybody ever went, ugh? That's very significant. Now go, in conclusion, go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Say this with me. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How you think determines what your cells do. Metamorphosis. Well, that's just the way I am. You're right. Because you're in the habit of being you. You're in the habit of being you. How many of you know we have opinions that need to change? Now, Mark 11, 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That's not what it says. Because to have faith in God means I've got to do something to get something I don't have out of something He does have. When you say have faith in God and leave it in that translation, I'm not a scholar. Look, just hear me out. When you say have faith in God, you just told yourself He's got something you don't have. But yet the Bible says in the New Covenant, as He is, so are we in this world. The Bible says He's given you a measure of faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 says we have obtained faith through the righteousness of God. I have obtained it. So when you say, give me more faith, you just told your whole being and programmed your whole being, you ain't got none. You don't have any. Sorry, teachers. Literally in the Greek language, it's in the genetic, meaning the case of possession or of. He literally said, have the faith of God. And it's a command in the present tense saying, you are having. Have the faith of God, the God kind of faith. And then He said, here's how it will work in the new covenant. Even though you guys don't quite have it figured out, here's how it'll work. I say, verily, verily, verse 23, verily, verily. Now, you know, New King James smooths it, says for assuredly, but in the Greek it's verily, verily. Literally it's amen, amen, or amen, amen. When a rabbi or a Greek or somebody in that culture begins a sentence with amen, amen, he's like, truth, truth, pay attention, pay attention. This matters, this matters. Yes. Truth of truth. Truth of truth coming now. Undeniable truth's coming out of my mouth right now. Amen, amen. For whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says, when his heart agrees with it. Now, the word doubt is the word diakrino. It's translated judge or differ or be separate from in other verses. So here's what it's saying. When you speak something of faith with your mouth and your heart doesn't judge what you're saying as false, I'm blessed. Your heart goes, no, no, you're not. How many of you have ever spoken the word and something in here said, I don't know about that. And then they come to you and say, well, it didn't work, Pastor. I said it 40 times and it didn't work. That's because your heart still judged it. Not here, guys. It's here. It also means to become separate from or to differ from. When you declare things with your mouth and you're not different from it in your heart, you're not separated from your words. See, your heart and your words can be separated. You can say one thing with your mouth and your heart says, I don't want anything to do with that. But what you need to do is begin to continue to speak the word of God out of your mouth, continue to agree with the word of God, and what you say will begin to resonate in your heart. Your heart and your mouth become one. Your heart stops judging what you're saying with your mouth. It becomes as if it is so, and when it becomes one in mouth and heart, the mountain moves and you have what you say because you're no longer doubting and differing from the things you say. Pathological liars will never walk in faith because they've trained their heart not to believe anything they say. When you deceive others, you are the one deceived the most because you just told your heart, don't believe anything you say. You need to be honest and truthful at all costs for the sake of your own heart. All right, in conclusion, Matthew chapter 4, this was amazing. Praise God. How does all this change, Pastor? You need to see how God sees you. We need to see how God sees us. When we begin to see how God sees us in His grace, when we begin to see who we are in our Father's eyes, it changes how we see ourselves. That's why He said in 2 Corinthians 3, be transformed by looking into the mirror called Christ. Because when you see Him, you see you. Right? Now, here's what He said in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all quiet. I know I did. I probably did. More than likely, I did say that. I want Matthew 13. Did y'all read Mark 4? Okay, good. See, I was just making sure. It's one of those pastor tests to call out the wrong verse to see if you're even paying attention, see. Matthew 13, 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Matthew 13, 12. Any of those that I've named above, go read it and you'll be fine. Matthew 13, 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Jesus, it sounds like you're speaking like Yoda talk here.
Has, he does. Who shall not have more?
What he's literally saying is, whoever has, listen to me, listen to me. Here's how God thinks. If you have it in your heart, you have it. And if you don't have it in your heart, you don't have it. So here's what he's saying. Whatever you have in your heart, you're going to have more of that in your life. And whatever you don't have in your heart, even what you physically have right now, you're going to lose it because you don't have the heart to keep it, because what is in the heart becomes the metamorphosis, the change of your life. Have. You don't have it till you have it in your heart. I don't care if you can quote the verse. Is it in your head or is it in your heart? I know it by heart. Meditation is so important. So he's saying, whoever has. See, if you didn't have it in your heart, Jesus didn't think you had it, period. That's why a man can win $300 million in the lottery and lose it within a year. Because he didn't have wealth, abundance in his heart. So his very heart, working with his DNA, said, you're only worth $30,000. You're not worth $300 million. So I am going to dispose of this wealth in ways that will destroy you.